I followed you 11 months. I let you down more than once. I know my words, they hurt you bad, but you never asked me to take them back. Now I'm alone in Wonderland, wondering how the time went past. The sky is blue, it always is. The weather comes but doesn't last. I'm just a human with a lot to lose, but I wanna be fresh water for you. Fresh water for you. Drive by pastures dripping green, rolling hills like stitching seams. The harvest moon hangs low again. I'd like to learn to be your friend, 'cause I'm alone in Wonderland, wondering how the time went past. The sky is blue, it always is. The weather comes but doesn't last. I'm just a human with a lot to lose, but I wanna be fresh water for you. Fresh water for you. Fresh water.
And we're in the studio with Humbird, who is musician Siri Undlin. She's a resident at Elsewhere in Paonia right now. And Elsewhere has a program where they house artists of all kinds from all over the world for a few months at a time here in Paonia. Siri is originally from Minneapolis, and she spent the last 2 years writing and performing as part of the nationally touring folk group Undlin and Wolf. Her work combines elements of Northern European folklore, strange body loops, and field recordings with Americana. Welcome to Talkin' Music, Siri.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Allie.
That was beautiful. Thanks. That song is like fresh water.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. That's the goal.
So none of the body loops were included in that song, but I'm wondering what they are. What are body loops?
Yeah, they're totally weird. I have a looping pedal and I hook a microphone up to it and I make like breathing noises, strange like sorts of things, and incorporate melody and weave it all together into these sort of arcs that I hope reflect a particular landscape. So it's a little abstract, but
did you invent it?
I don't think so.
No?
No. I mean, there's a lot of artists out there, people like Bobby McFerrin and like Charlotte Monk, who do like amazing stuff that's very similar to it. I just tend to explicitly create pieces that reflect a certain place. So maybe that's slightly different, but yeah.
So how did you hear about Elsewhere and what made you want to come here and how did that all happen?
Yeah. It was really just a friend of mine who lives in Grand Junction who was familiar with Elsewhere and saw that they had a call out for composers. So she sent me a link and it seemed like a really cool thing to do.
Oh, you're the composer.
I guess. I always thought of myself as more of a songwriter, but maybe composer sounds more official or something. I don't know.
So what have you been working on since you got here? Like what? How did this place, you know, I guess, impact your sound and what you're doing?
Yeah, I think the biggest impact is just having like unstructured time to make music, which is something I've never had before. I've always worked like 2 or 3 part-time jobs and been on the road on the weekends with a band. So having just this like quiet space to adventure and like hike around in and then write music in has definitely been like the biggest part of being here. But yeah, I've been working on the body loops and sort of these strange, almost atmospheric, longer compositions, and then also writing more standard pop tunes and finding ways to weave those two things together.
What surprised you about this place?
Oh my gosh, there's so many surprises about Peony. I feel like every time I start to get a handle on the vibe of the place, I learn something new or talk to somebody I hadn't met before, and it's like a whole nother element to it. Most surprising, I think just how open-minded people are. I really didn't know anything about Peonia before I came here. I just knew it was a town of like 1,500 on the western slope. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Like 1,500 of what?
Yeah. Yeah, I really was like, well, it'll be an experience. But I've just been like so pleasantly surprised by how open and creative people are here.
And, well, you've got some fans for sure. Because, you know, we have lots of amazing artists obviously coming through elsewhere. But every once in a while, you'll just start hearing somebody's name over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You've got to check her out. You've got to check her out. Have you seen her? So really happy to have you here.
Oh, yeah. I'm lucky. Really lucky to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your family and your life back in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm the oldest of four, and we're all really close in age. My siblings are, you know, my best friends, and I'm pretty close with my parents, too, which is part of why I still live in Minneapolis. I mean, the winters are just so brutal, but family.
I hear there's, like, in the winter, sometimes there's ice that shoots at sideways at your face.
It's true, yeah. And your nostrils, like, freeze together. Your eyelashes get stuck. I don't know. People talk about the winters here, and I'm like, are they bad? But, I mean, I haven't experienced
it.
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to beat Minnesota or, like, that part of the world. But
as far as ice and cold go?
Yeah. I think, well, I lived in Colorado for 4 years in Colorado Springs, and the winters were totally cold, but there's sunshine, which is, like, a huge factor that I don't think people understand until you're in Minnesota in March and you realize like you haven't really seen the sun for 2 months and it's just gray and horrible. So
yeah,
I love it. But
I was there in the summer. So
yeah, Minnesota in the summer is amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was really fun. There was a lot going on there. There was a lot of music.
So much.
I think it's a music town.
Absolutely.
Way more than people, well, I guess way more than it gets credit for.
For sure.
Because, you know, you hear about Nashville and Austin, and but you don't really hear about Minneapolis having this huge music scene, and it does, and it's very diverse, too.
Yeah,
I wasn't.
Absolutely.
I probably saw maybe 3 or 4 bands while I was there, and they were all totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite part about being in that scene, is my best friends are playing music that's totally different from what I do, and it's so refreshing. You don't get sick of what you're doing then, because you're constantly being inspired by something that's the other end of the spectrum. So yeah, it's a good spot.
How did you get into the type of music that you do, which is pretty much folk, right?
Yeah, definitely. I played in an Irish band when I was like 11 and 12 and did that for a while and really loved it. And the transition from like really traditional folk Irish music to kind of the Americana, more modern folk scene felt really natural to me. So, yeah.
And what about writing lyrics? Because I feel like that's one of your, you know, one of your strengths as an artist.
Thank
and
you.
You've won awards for it.
Yeah, I also do a lot of writing. I've kind of written and played music my whole life. So I like to combine. I definitely look at lyrics as poetry, and if they can't stand alone, then I'm not interested in singing them either. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear another song if we could.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm here with Humbird, who is musician Siri Unlin.
I'm going to play a song called Fisherman's Wife, which is, it's kind of like a little folk tale that I wrote and turned into a song about a woman who keeps disappearing into her husband's crafts. So first she marries a fisherman and becomes a fish. Then she marries a blacksmith and becomes the iron in the fire. And then she marries a tailor and becomes the dress. So
cool.
Yeah. Mercy on your lips, love
love me till I'm sick. I have cast my lot, will never be a fisherman's wife. Swim among the weeds, caught the salmon song. Followed their silken bodies, thought it impossible. Is this the one? Is this the one you love? Don't know what's lost or finally found. With a scorch upon your tongue, tie me to the loss. Oh, I've been burned before, will be ashes once more. With the fire glowing red, with the thoughts I should have said. When the blacksmith came to me and asked me for
Humbird, Siri Undlin in the studio with us today at KBNF. Your voice is like kind of perfect. Like it's sort of flawless. Aww, to me. But it's still interesting because, mm-hmm, you know, sometimes you hear people, they're perfect and every note is pretty. And you're, yeah, like, why am I not? Why don't I care?
Yeah.
Did you do you have to work at that, or have you just sort of had the natural, just sort of comes out that way?
It kind of comes out that way. I mean, I practice a lot, and I listen to a lot of different artists and try to imitate them without, you know, copying, I guess. But I'll learn covers and try to do it as close to that artist as possible, and then hope that that sort of affects me in a good way that doesn't compromise my own work that I'm doing.
But, right, like, yeah. Which artist?
I love, like, Gillian Welch. She's been a huge influence. And also an artist I think that was really important for me as, like, a woman songwriter, because she is pretty imperfect, actually. Mm-hmm. And her recordings, I mean, they just, like, hit you right in the sternum. And it's not about, like, hitting the note perfectly, which, mm-hmm, was, like, huge for me when I started listening to her.
Yeah, she's really dark.
Yeah.
In a great way.
Yeah.
Have you seen her live?
I haven't. I really want to see David Rawlings live.
Yeah, like he's also dark.
Yeah.
There, and then they do their thing together is just like, I love it. You were previously on tour with a band called Undlin and Wolf. That's your partner, Dexter Wolf, songwriting partner. Mm-hmm. And what can you tell me about that collaboration and just what you like about it and how it's sort of different from what you're doing?
Yeah, it's Dexter is someone that I met when I was about 16. We went to an arts high school together and we were in the music department. And we started playing music then and went our separate ways for a few years, but always sent each other songs and were looking for feedback and that sort of thing. And part of why I like collaborating with him so much is because his approach to music is so different from mine. He's so cerebral and he likes to figure out exactly what's going on between instruments and voices. And I'm the opposite. Like, I really don't think about what I'm doing. I'm very intuitive. And I think when we collaborate, it makes what we do better. But it's been really refreshing to be here and working alone also, because having spent the last 2 years like in this very intense collaboration and on the road a lot, I really needed to come here and experiment alone again. And it's been really cool to see what happens. So I'm excited to work on the Humbird sort of solo project as well as the Undlin and Wolf collaboration, because I hope that those two things will just make each other stronger for sure.
I was listening to some of the Undlin and Wolf stuff on Bandcamp or something, and I saw that you wrote that you had recorded some tracks at Grandma Linda's condo.
Yeah.
So is that your Grandma Linda?
No, that's Dexter's grandma, but she happens to live like 3 blocks from where my parents live, and she let us use her condo to record music because she would be gone. So we would just set up all these mics and amps and stuff and just, go nuts.
So you were a Thomas J. Watson Fellow in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that is. What
is it? I can tell you. It's this like really cool fellowship for students the year after they graduate. And they pick 40 kids a year, and every project is super different. So what I did was I looked at how people use music to tell stories in isolated places. So I was up in Northern Europe, in Iceland, the western coast of Ireland and Scotland, and the Arctic Circle up in Norway. But just to like give you other examples of Watson projects, there was a woman who looked at how indigenous women use art to protest like environmental issues. There was another woman who looked at shark finning. There was a guy who studied co-ops and the idea of happiness. So there's like 40 of these like really diverse projects, and you go out and try to answer.
I want a Thomas J. Watson Fellow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I was really lucky.
And so what did you discover when you were exploring that?
Yeah, I mean, so my question, how do people use music to tell stories in isolated places, sort of just got more abstract as the year went on. Like, I mean, how do you define a song? How do you define a story? So I kind of circled around ideas and interviewed a lot of storytellers and learned a bunch of different ways to tell stories with songs. But I don't know that I came home with any like short, succinct answer, which at first really depressed me. Like, I spent a year alone in like the coldest, darkest, most isolated places, and I didn't come back with an answer. But then I was like, maybe that's how it should be, because if I went out and spent an entire year asking a question and I could come back with a clean answer, then maybe it wasn't a good enough question. So that's what I tell myself now.
and really defining stories and defining isolated too, because you can be very isolated in a
busy place.
Yeah, in a busy place. So what was a story that you heard while you were doing this project that is memorable to you, that stood out to you?
I heard so many stories. There's one man who stands out in particular to me, and I don't really have a story about him necessarily, but I was on Cape Clear Island, which is off the southern tip of Cork in Ireland. And I met this blind man who was a goat farmer, and he would sing to his goats these like very specific songs, and then he had like really famous goat ice cream. And people were always like, what's your secret? Like, how do you make such good goat ice cream? And he was like, it's the songs.
I bet he's right.
Yeah.
And I mean,
it was amazing.
He probably tested his theory out about that. Like,
yeah,
just didn't sing to a couple goats. And
yeah. Or like wasn't getting good enough ice cream and was like, maybe if I sing, it'll be better. Yeah. I don't know how he kind of came to his methods, but he was just such a distinct character. And that was kind of what the year was about, was just encountering these characters, these people in their kind of daily lives, and witnessing the stories that they live and the stories that they told through music. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember I was interviewing some local vintners, people who make wine out here.
And cool.
One of them likes to play punk rock music for his grapes. He just... He just
That's
was insisted that punk rock made his wine just a little bit better.
You know, I want to drink punk rock wine. Like, that sounds awesome.
For sure. I'll hook you up.
Okay.
I'll hook you up before you go.
I'm really excited.
And I'm here with Siri Unland. How much longer are you here?
I'm here through September 29th. I'll be playing at Mountain Harvest Fest, which I'm super excited about, at the Cirque. And then after that, I'll be touring my way home. So I have 7 or 8 shows along the way back to Minneapolis.
Well, let's hear a song from you before you go.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 songs if you have time. Okay.
I would love to sing a song like about Paeonia
wrote
while I was
here.
Okay, it's pretty new, which is always good. A little terror, I think, goes a long way when visiting radio stations.
Right?
Okay, so this one's called August. If I turned out the light, gave the shadows to the room, we're all creatures here and I'm curious how the shapes change when I quit clinging to edges. I fall into you, August, ease on into darkness. Where will you go when you leave this tiny town where the fruit litters the ground? I have crossed a mountain pass beside you now, thrown my arms into an autumn wind that howls. I do not turn away from this easily. August, will you remember me? Ooh, ooh, could I stay? The summer slips away too fast and prices rise in the wild west. The northern pines persist to call my name, but I do not return unto the north the same. I swear on the dirt for the rest of my days, I will not forget the valley to which the darkness came. Ooh.
Wow, that's cool. That's
so cool that you wrote a song about this place. I actually don't think I've heard very many songs about this place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's surprising. It's such a, I don't know, it feels like such a prolific place.
Right?
Where people are always creating.
Yeah, that was cool. Can you tell me a little bit about what made you write that song?
Yeah. I mean, places are really complicated. And I think 3 months is a good period to get a good first impression of a place and also understand that, you know, there's a lot of dynamics happening. And even with that in mind and knowing, you know, that I'm still just like a real newbie around here, I really do love it. And the, you know, the sadness that comes with meeting so many interesting people and really loving a place and knowing that you're ultimately going to be leaving, I think is a lot about a lot of where this song comes from, but also just the idea of seasons passing, which, I mean, I love all four seasons. I get really excited about all of them for different reasons, but something about the end of summer is just always real haunting. So, yeah, I wanted to kind of combine those ideas into a song.
Yeah, I love that period. Well, it's this period, actually.
Yeah, we're in it.
Yeah, where it starts to get that chill in the air. And and I love fall here. It's just unbelievable. It's like, it's the way fall should be, if you ask me.
Totally.
It's like if you were going to put fall in a movie, you know, you'd have to film it here.
I love like driving around these basically the last week, and you can see the aspen trees, like the tips are getting a little yellow. It's so exciting.
Yeah. Very nice. And I'm here with Humbird, musician Siri Unlin. You can see her at Mountain Harvest Festival. She'll be playing at the Cirque on Saturday night.
Yep, 8 p.m. and it's free.
All right.
Yeah.
Great deal. And let's hear one more song before you go.
Okay, cool. I think I'm just going to do kind of a straightforward heartbreak one.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. So this one's called Vonnegut.
Forest edge, the desert bone. Well, we've got nowhere else to go, so let's split the middle and bring it home. You're leaving me, and I'm scared that it's the best thing you'll ever do. I say goodbye, look you straight in the eye, like I got something. You look back on the day when we wasted away. Recall me in my youth, but that wouldn't be true. I was an old woman the day that I met you. Keep the books upon your shelf, Vonnegut won't help me now. These stories, they're stressing me out. The same old thing no one can figure out. You're leaving me, and I'm scared that it's the best thing you'll ever do. I say goodbye, look you straight in the eye, like I got something to prove. You look back on the day when we wasted away. Recall me in my youth, but that wouldn't be true. I was an old woman the day that I met you. Stay.